No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In his message last week, Pastor Brian Grant looked at the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, using it as dramatic illustration of the principle of how God has obligated himself to guide the sincere seeker into a fuller light, even bringing that seeker into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ through the gospel. In his message this week, Pastor Grant continues his series on the book of the Acts as it records the Holy Spirit moving to bring the church of Jesus Christ from birth on the day of Pentecost to maturity, fully fitted to victoriously await her Lord's return. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 11, and listen as Pastor Grant describes some of the marks that distinguish the church from the old covenant of the law in his message, God's Hidden Mystery. Here's Pastor Grant.
An Amish boy and his father went to the big city for the very first time. And of course, having grown up and lived all their life on a farm, everything was completely new to them. So they went to a big skyscraper, they parked their horse and buggy, they left mom in the horse and buggy, and they went into this big skyscraper. And as they went into the skyscraper, in the lobby there was this silver object. And the doors opened and the doors closed. And the little boy looked at it, they were just amazed. And the boy said, "Dad, what is that?" Well, of course, Dad had never seen an elevator before. And he said, "Son, I have no idea what it is." And as they stood watching, an old lady in a wheelchair, she wheeled herself through the open door. The door closed. And they noticed lights started to light on the side. And the lights kept going up. And then they stopped. And as they watched, the light started coming in the reverse direction. And then the door opened, and a beautiful 24-year-old stunning woman stepped out. Daddy was so amazed. He said, "Boy, go get your mom." Some things are mysterious because we have never been exposed to them before. But today's text introduces us to a mystery which God had hidden from everyone in previous generations. We're speaking today on the message title, God's Hidden Mystery. If you remember, we spoke about the conversion of the Roman centurion Cornelius. And what an amazing story of grace that was, and the extent to which God will go to reach a seeking sinner. What a story that was. But you know, as amazing as that story was, it was so amazing that very soon the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem got word that a number of Gentiles had accepted Jesus as Savior at Cornelius' house. And guess what? They were not thrilled at all. They were rather upset to hear that Peter had gone into the house of these uncircumcised Gentiles. Can you imagine? Just imagine. Several people had just gotten saved and Christians were upset. I have come to find out that not every Christian is excited when people get saved. You know, sometimes I never forget that some brothers visited me from a church in another city, and they stayed at my home. They were inviting me to come and speak until they found out that I believe that this gospel should be preached to everybody and that it doesn't matter your social class or your background. And they started arguing because they said, if we keep doing this stuff, the wrong people may get saved and the church might be filled with the wrong people. And I said to them that if this gospel is not good enough to change the vilest of sinners, it's just not good enough. And so I was uninvited from preaching there. So I've come to realize that not everybody is excited about people being saved. Some people like a gospel that reaches people that look like them, act like them, are of the same social class, same educational background. They have the same amount of money, and they just want things that way. Let's maintain the status quo. So why were these guys so upset? Well, in our text, Acts of the Apostles, and by the way, for those of you who are visiting, we've been going through the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Our style here at GCA is to go through books of the Bible at a time, rather than cherry-picking what we want to preach on. This forces us to talk about a whole lot of stuff we might not want to talk about, amen, as we try and do diligence and go through the scriptures. But here in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11, verse 2, the Bible says, when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." What was the problem? The problem was Peter had entered into the home of a Gentile who had not first become a Jewish proselyte. And I'll explain what this business about a proselyte is as we go along. They were bent out of shape because Peter had dared to enter the house. What an incredible sin. He entered the house of an uncircumcised Gentile. Now, before you get too hard on them, it is important that we understand the context. It is important that we understand what they knew. They knew life under the old covenant. That's what they knew, life under the old covenant. I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles in Acts of the Apostles chapter 11, but turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 17, and let's see what life was under the old covenant. Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to read there from verses 1 to 12. Let's talk about the covenant of circumcision. The covenant of circumcision. What is this all about? Genesis chapter 17. And it says there, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you, and you will greatly increase your numbers." Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You'll be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan where you are now an alien, I will give." Notice that. "The whole land of Canaan where you now live, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. I will be their God." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you for the generations to come. Every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring." And we will stop there for the sake of time. God established this covenant of circumcision, I'm going to call it, with the people of Israel. And God's side of the covenant was to give Abraham heirs. He said he was going to make of him a great nation. God was going to give him heirs. He was going to give him power. He was going to give him wealth. He was going to give him property. And you and I as Christians, it is good for you and I to understand why the Holy Land is so important to Israel. Sometimes we miss this. We listen to the political debate and we wonder, why doesn't Israel get it? Why don't they just wise up and give up more of the land? But we need to understand there are some strong reasons here. And verse 8 tells us, the whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. As far as they're concerned, God gave them this land. So God established his side of the covenant, and God said, Abraham, you also have a side of the covenant, and your side is what? Circumcision. Oh, I can tell you, it's for a 99-year-old man, I can assure you that was not fun, but let's be honest with you. It was not a very high price to pay, considering what God was giving him. You know, when you enter a covenant, the norm is that you give up something to get something of equal value. Am I correct about that? You make a fair deal, a fair exchange. But here, God is making a covenant where God is promising him everything. And God says, the only thing I ask of you is circumcision. Wow. Isn't that like God? Here you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have entered into the blessings of God. And what have we really given up? You know, sometimes I speak to people and they say, oh, I don't want to be a Christian because I'll have to give up too much. You ever heard anybody say that? Oh, I'll have to give up too much. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody this morning and that's what you have said. I'm not going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior because I'll have to give up too much. Let me ask you, what do you really have to give up? You know, let's be honest, all we have to give up is our sinful way. Am I right about it? You know, yes, so you're a drunk and God says you need to stop. You're a thief. And God says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him get a job. You're a carouser. In other words, God is saying what he wants us to do is to turn from a life of sin. Listen, that life of sin is going to destroy you anyhow. And I'm here to tell you that what you have to give up is sin. That's going to land you in the wrong place. But instead, God says, turn away from that and come to me, and I will give you what? Everlasting life.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You say, boy, there's a lot about circumcision and uncircumcision. Hey, but bottom line, it's a talk about the Jews and the Gentiles. This is really what it is. And there is a distinction. God wants a separation, just like he wants to see a separation between the believer and the world. There ought to be a difference. And here's what he says. He says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. You know, some of us who got saved, who are born in our generation, sometimes we miss how good we've got it. Have you ever sat down to contemplate what life would have been like for you as a Gentile, as a member of the powerful United States of America, if you were born in the days before Christ? Here's what the Bible says about you. It says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. And as I was reading that, I said, boy, God has brought us a mighty long way. Can you say amen to that? He has brought us a mighty long way. My brothers and sisters, we Gentiles, there was a separation. And at one time, the Bible says we were without God and we were without hope. But this is what they knew. Understand their mindset. As they hear that the Gentiles have gotten saved and that Peter went into the house of this uncircumcised man, all they knew, there's the covenant of circumcision. They know there's supposed to be a division between Jew and Gentile, but they also know if Gentiles want to get anything from God, they must first become Jewish proselytes. You say, Brother Brian, who is a proselyte? A proselyte is a Gentile who converted to Judaism, including getting circumcised. Do you see it? So you see, a Gentile could become a Jewish proselyte. And as I did some work, research on this, my understanding is that even when you became a proselyte, you converted to Judaism, you still could not go in the temple. So in Acts chapter 11, the followers of the way were still operating. Now don't miss this, because up to Acts of the Apostles chapter 11, all of what we see happening before is really happening with Jews. And from the Jews' standpoint, the followers of the way, which is what the Christians were called at that time, from their standpoint, if you were going to become what we now call a Christian, you first had to convert to Judaism first. Because if you did not become a Jewish proselyte, you were too unclean to receive God's salvation. I don't want you to miss that. If you didn't become a Jew in the early church, as far as they understood it, if you didn't first become a Jewish proselyte, you were too unclean to receive God's salvation. I'm so glad that I'm able to preach to you this morning that God's salvation is available to everyone. I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't have to become a Jew. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to clean up first. You say, Brother Brian, are you sure about that? I thought I had to clean up first. No, you can't clean up. Can I be honest with you? You really can't clean yourself up. Some people are saying, I meet some people sometimes and they say, Brother Brian, I'm not a Christian yet because my life is so messed up. I'm trying to clean it up first before I come to Jesus. I can't come like all this mess. I can't bring all of this to him. I got to clean it up. But then I see them 2 years later and they're still struggling. Brother Brian, I'm trying to clean it up. And the truth is, if I see them 5 years from then, they're still trying to clean it up, because in ourselves, we do not have the power to clean ourselves up. That's why I'm so glad that I know a man named Jesus. Aren't you glad that there's a man named Jesus and he died for our sin? And he says, whosoever will may come. Guess what? He'll change you. Am I talking to somebody? You're struggling with something. You're struggling in sin and you're trying to get it together. Come as you are, just as you are. There's a little hymn that says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And if you would come to Jesus just as you are, repenting of your sin, saying, God, I want to change. Will you help me? I want your salvation. Will you help me? I am here to tell you that he will help you and he will change you. God was doing something brand new, but they were still stuck in the old paradigm. So let's talk about this hidden mystery. What was God's hidden mystery? A mystery in this biblical sense does not mean something mysterious or puzzling. The word mystery, as used, means something that has not previously been made known. So I want us this morning, in order to understand Acts chapter 11, it is important that we understand what was it that was hidden. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 2 to verse 6. And here's what the Word of God says. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, here's the word, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. Here, don't miss verse 6. Don't miss verse 6. I'm in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
God was up to something brand new, and he had hidden this mystery that he had planned to bring Jew and Gentile together in one body. The mystery is that Christ would build his church, that Jews and Gentiles would be joined together, that we Gentiles would no longer be left out, that we'd be right in the mix, that we would be heirs and have the right. Yes, praise God, we now have the right to the tree of life. You see, the church was hidden from previous generations. The fact that the Lord would build his church was not made clear to any of the Old Testament prophets. The Old Testament prophets prophesied about the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. The Old Testament prophesied a lot, even about the end time and the coming of the Lord and the tribulation and the millennium. But somehow there was no clarity given to the Old Testament prophets regarding this parenthesis, which were this church age that has lasted for over 2,000 years. This was not made clear to the Old Testament prophets. Some people think it's unfair that the Jews were God's earthly chosen people. In fact, some people are so bent out of shape by that whole idea that they will challenge whether the Jews are really God's chosen people. But I am not going to argue that, because my Bible makes it clear that the Jews were chosen for an earthly blessing. And I have studied my Bible and my history, I have come to find out that the Jews have had a very rough road. Have you found that out too? They have had a very rough road, and were it not for the fact that they were specially chosen by God, they would have been wiped out long ago. But they keep bouncing back because God has a plan for the Jews. But I'm here today to tell you, I am not jealous of any Jew, because I have come to experience the best blessing that God has to offer. I want you to know that the best blessing that God has to offer is an eternal blessing, that God is making it possible that every man, every woman on the face of this earth can experience the very best he has to offer: forgiveness of sin, everlasting life, a reserved seat in heaven. I want to say, it doesn't get much better than that.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550 or by visiting our website, gcafamilychurch.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.